This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, good evening, and welcome to you all. We're honored to have Eldon Hostetler as our speaker, and he will be talking about the challenges of relationships in ministry. He's working full-time in church-related ministries for much of the past 40 years has given him a real perspective of life, and that there is one common thing in the rising and falling of ministries, and that common theme is relationships. Eldon has served on various boards and under various boards, and relationship has been the biggest challenge, as some of you may know already. Some of his interest is Eldon is passionate about helping ministries figure out relationships and how it affects God's works. So let's give him our time. Eldon, why don't you come forward and I'll say a short prayer and we'll begin.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Eldon. Lord, I just pray that through his experiences we could learn a few things and we could all take home to where we are and apply it to our lives. I just pray that you bless this time together. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Seth.
Yes, you're welcome.
I am so excited about being able to talk about relationship today. And I guess I'm talking to you as I know that a lot of you are ministry people. So I guess you're either here today. Well, you're on one side or the other of this fence, I suppose. Either because you really struggle with relationship or you sure know somebody you wish was in this class today, right? So which side are you on? If we get this figured out ahead of time, we'll do better, right? The guy in the back is showing up these frowny faces already, and I love those. So many times relationship does this, doesn't it? But what kind of relationship does God really want us to be experiencing as God's people? I just say you're brave being in this class today because maybe I'll be easy on you. Maybe I won't, okay? Maybe I'll be hard on myself. Because relationship is so interesting, right? It's so interesting. And I don't care where your 2 feet hit the ground. It's so interesting. I've served on numerous boards, and I've served under boards, and I've served in this ministry and in that one, and I can tell you that people don't really leave ministries. They leave relationship. Does that make sense to you guys? Why is that? Big question. Maybe we'll leave today with more questions than we came. I don't know. But I'd like to explore some of these things just a little bit, and maybe in some way we can add some value to each other as we grapple with these sorts of things. But I don't want to bury you in this, okay? I don't want to get in so deep that you think, oh my, no hope. I'm here to tell you there's hope, okay? There's joy in relationship. There's great joy in relationship. I can't imagine anything that's a greater joy than relationship. If we honor our Lord. And why am I saying that? Because I'm preaching to the choir and because we're all believers, right? So why wouldn't we be doing that? But that's just it, isn't it? That's just it. Why don't we? We mean to. We want to. We're determined to. But then there's that guy the board sent over there to work with us. What's wrong with the board, right? Etc., etc. You can make up your own story. I would love to just sit here and hear your stories. How many of you are currently involved in some kind of ministry, fairly full-time ministry, or even part-time? Can I just see your hands? Whoa. So why did you come? Are you having a good time where you are? Or is it the other guy? Which is it? Is it about me or is it about him? Would anybody of you dare to say it's about him?
About both.
That's a safe answer.
It's about our development.
It's about our development. What, the other guy is about our development?
I said our development.
Okay. Well, I'd be honest enough to tell you that I think the Lord brings some really interesting people, those interesting people, into our lives for very special reasons. You believe that?
Yes.
And until you learned whatever lesson God wanted you to learn, the guy might stay put. Huh. Is that good news or bad news? It's about relationship, isn't it? It's so about relationship. And I don't even like to call it a challenge, but it is a challenge, isn't it? Because it takes work. It takes work. Sometimes relationship really does take work. It takes an effort. And it really does take work. And I will admit to you that in my work on various, boards and things like this, it seemed to me that the easy part was about the money and, you know, about where we're going to minister and what we're going to do and all that. That was the easy part. That was the easy part. But when you have to sit down as a board member and you have to sit down two grown men and you have to try to say, men, could we just somehow learn how to like each other enough that we could minister? You know, that's the hard part. Those are some of the hardest things I've ever done. Is just trying to help folks who just really don't like it, to try to help them somehow get their gears going to where they can mesh and they can be solid ministry workers that are just loving it. Well, it seems to me that it would be okay to say that relationship is sort of the number one grapple point of ministry. And when I say the grapple point, just picture maybe a hook deeply embedded in rock, high up in a cave someplace. And there's a big chasm, split, deep in that cave, and you're trying to get from one side to the other. But somebody was thoughtful enough to get a grapple point, a hook point, embedded in the rock up in that cave, where you can get your rope and your grapple, and you could hook it into that grapple point. And you can take your rope and you can swing across that chasm very safely and land on the other side. But here's the problem. If that grapple point is not embedded in the rock properly, and halfway across the chasm it breaks out of that rock, and you're down at the bottom of the chasm. So often, that's where we find ourselves in relationship, down in the bottom someplace, and we say, God, there's no way out of here. It's too deep, it's too high. I hurt too much. I'm too banged up. Can't do it. You ever been there? I'll tell you, I've been there. I've been there. I've been there. And sometimes you just don't know what to do because your rope's loose, the grapple point is broke. You just don't know what to do. But I'm here to tell you today that I believe that our God has so many beautiful ways for us as his people to navigate these things, to where that point can be firm and it can be solid and it can be stable like the rock of Jesus Christ himself. And we can hang that hook on there and we can navigate those things safely and we can get there the way the Lord would want us to get there. Well, as we think about relationship, it seems to me that with it, if there's relationship inside of your organization, whether it's a ministry, if it's a church, if it's a business, if it's a family, or whatever it is, with it, your ministry is essentially unstoppable.
That's right.
Now listen to me. I'm talking about this in relation to, we all understand today that this, we're talking to believers, okay? And I'm not discounting the idea of getting saved and needing to follow the word and these types of things. That's a given on this one, okay? That's a given. Pass that to this. With relationship, it's astonishing what you can do. And I know that most of you have had the opportunity to work with a team that you can just say, wow, it was so much fun, right? Now, you didn't think the same, maybe, but you sharpened each other and you worked together and you were a team. And what this guy couldn't do, this guy could. And what this guy hated to do, this guy loved to do. And together, it was an unstoppable team. You could just get her done. Fun? Yeah? That's fun, isn't it? But I think it's important for us to quickly note that if that relationship is not there, it is like trying literally to drive a car with its wheels missing. How many of you got the idea in your mind that a car with no tires ain't going far? It ain't going that far, right? Sometimes we're driving with thin tread and we're driving with low tire pressures and all this kind of thing, but if it doesn't have any tires, it ain't going nowhere, okay? And I think it's so important that we as ministry people understand the gravity of this matter, because it is grave, okay? If the wheels are gone, it's gone. You ain't going nowhere. Okay, so that I think is kind of the premise of how we're starting this time together, is just to understand that relationship really, really is important. So let's just quickly look at a few factors. So what really affects relationship? Sometimes it seems like the rocks show up because of conflict, of tension, of various misunderstandings. We're too familiar with these things, aren't we? We wish we weren't as familiar with them as we are. And you know what happens? It's called burnout, and it's called unsustainable pressures and heavy attrition rates, and behold, staff shortages. Have you ever had any staff shortages in your neck of the woods? You know, it's amazing how these things affect us. They affect us so deeply because, you see, man is created spirit. But we have a soul and a body. And it's that soul and body where so much of the battle rages, the soul of man, where the mind, the will, the emotions, the battle rages there so much. And it gives us so many struggles in these areas. And if somehow this conflict, this tension, these misunderstandings are not remedied, it'll result in our emotions getting shot and burnt out. And our minds aren't thinking like they ought to. And we're unable to accomplish the purpose that God put us at that place of ministry for. But I want to tell you today, folks, please, as we go through this, I believe that our God wants us to discover his ways in doing these kinds of things. So maybe we could just ask another preliminary question or two. So, is ministry indeed about relationship? I recently had a discussion with a couple with a ministry brother, and he was just commenting about how that he had this conversation with one of his partners in ministry, and they were having this conversation, and one of them was saying, "You know what? Ministry is about relationship." And the other one said, "No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not about relationship," because he said, "Guess what? You know, when Jesus said those kinds of things to the people that he was, quote, ministering to, you snakes and you vipers and you all kinds of words," that he said, "Relational? No, maybe Jesus wasn't about relationship." So they were having this back and forth thing going on about relationship. I'm not quite sure who won. I think the relationship guy actually won finally. I think the other one finally relented. Is it really about relationship?
Yeah.
I think it is about relationship.
It's about Christianity.
That's it. That's it. That is what Christianity is about. It's about relationship. About God coming down in his mercy and restoring relationship. That is what Christianity is really about. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was just thinking about this as it goes about relationship. And one thing I'd just like to say to you a couple of times today so that we can kind of sink this into our minds. So many times what happens in relationship is we find ourselves reacting. Mm-hmm. Have you ever reacted about anything? You said something to me. Roman is good at saying things to people. Nice things. Okay. So Roman says something to me, and I say, "You can't say that." No. And I react to it. And so I'm just responding on a surface level. Just me and you, what I heard you say wasn't very good to my ears. Didn't sound right. You didn't mean it that way maybe, but I heard it that way, and I'm reacting to you. And I think relationship is about learning what it means to stop reacting to the surface block that hits you. How many of you agree that we oftentimes do that very thing? We almost always we do that. You say something to me or you do something that I think is not quite like I like to see it. And I react on the basis of that surface thing that hit me first. And I'm saying here today that as God's people, we need to learn how to do relationship. Stop reacting. Start looking behind the bluff. And start to care about what's back there. Because you will be surprised at what you find there. You'll be astonished at what you find there. You find pain and you find brokenness and you find abuse. You find all kinds of things back there. If you can start to reach behind that and start to care for what's back there, it's astonishing. If I said nothing else to you today and you took this back with you and you practiced this, I promise you, you would have an amazing perspective that you need in ministry. Stop reacting to the bluff. Start looking behind what's going on and start to minister to the pain that you find there. You'd be astonished at what would happen in our churches, in our ministries, and wherever we are. So I just want to say that right now. It's not up here on this screen, but it's in my mind, and it's behind what I'm saying to you today. So let's quickly go along here. So I've already told you this, that people don't leave jobs or marriages, but they leave relationships. And I was going to tell you a couple of stories here. I'm going to have to talk a little bit faster, so let me try. Number one, I've got an example noted there about two ministry brothers in debate. And, we talked about that a little bit. And we have the second one in Virginia. I am from Virginia, and I used to work as a nursing facility administrator for a couple of years, quite a few years, actually. And one of the things that the state of Virginia came up with was that, we were required to have certified nursing assistants working in our facility, and we had our own in-house training program. But one of the things that they required as part of this training program, And would you believe, sometimes government gets it right, okay? And they had this idea that we needed to have a conflict management class in our CNA program. Because they said about the very same things I've been telling you. They said, you know what? It's because the reason of so much CNA attrition, so many CNAs leaving their place of work, is because they can't get along with their supervisors. They can't get along with each other. And they have some fallout with somebody in the place. And it's not that they don't like Granny. They like Granny. But they just can't deal with the boss. Or they can't deal with their coworkers. And so it's so important that we have a conflict management class as a module within that program. And it was my privilege and joy to teach that class for many years. It was just so much fun to try to help these young people let the light bulbs go on in their heads and see what's the deal with this and to see what difference it really does make. Well, so was Jesus really about relationship? And if you think about this, we've probably already pretty much answered this, but if you really think about Jesus and his, yeah, just the very life he lived and the message he gave, it was constantly, what is the first and greatest commandment? To love God and to love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. And he'd say, is this prayer to the Father that you could be one. That you could be one, even as the Father and I are one. And that he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love each other. Amen. As much as I have loved you. How much is that? Have we got close to that one yet? Not really, have we? We're still working on that one. But it would be so amazing if we could just understand the heart of Jesus Christ on this matter. By this shall all men know. All men are going to know that you're believers. And we don't have to keep listening to people like Gandhi saying if he would just see a believer, he'd be one. Have you ever seen a believer? Like this? You ever seen one? I'm asking you. Have you seen one? I know by the grace of God, it is your heart to be one of those. I know that. And I think it is God's heart that we as his people would mentor each other and encourage each other and bless each other. Again, if we can get past that bluff that hits us and start to look behind for the pain that exists there.
That's right.
And start to minister, we can do this. But if all I'm doing is reacting to you and saying, you can't tell me that, that wasn't right, that wasn't fair, as long as I'm doing that, ain't going to happen. Okay? So let's quickly think a little further about this matter. So, we have several causes, and I'd just like to quickly think about three causes of relationship challenges. And one of them is simply the pain factor in our lives. I think the pain factor is very, very big. And I'm going to expand a little bit further on my prior comments here about looking behind the bluff and finding the pain. A while ago, I had this interesting experience of going to two separate men's gatherings, like men's fellowship gatherings, two entirely different groups of people in entirely different groups. But it so happened that at least a couple of these people in this group knew each other. And I went to the one group, and I made a little comment in that men's group about this idea of trying to stop reacting to the bluff and looking behind to see what's really behind the situation. I hadn't more than said it until a 70-year-old brother he launched into this amazingly vivid picture of when he was a little child, maybe two, three, 4 years old. And he said how that when he was at the dinner table, how that he would be trying to spoon up his food, and he was using what his father would have said was the wrong hand. I want you to know I'm not against lefties, okay? Any lefties in this place? No lefties in this room today? Wow, that is amazing. That probably scared you off. You turned in a right hand right on the spot. This guy was trying to be a lefty. He was trying to feed himself with his left hand. And back in the day, how many of you know that back in the day, it wasn't okay to be left-handed? So they would go, boom, just flop his arm. And he indicated that he got slapped by his dad so many times. It was like countless times. And as he was telling his story, I could just tell it, whoa, it's like it happened yesterday. He was a 70-year-old man. He was like 3 years old when this happened. And this thing was just like, it's just like it happened today. And there he was, and he was telling us in vivid detail and how it affected his relationship with his father to this day. His father's dead and gone now. But how he was responding to his father, he always had this thing. I watched him. I knew this guy, and he was always talking nice about his mother, how his mother was such an influential person. But his father, not so much. I thought, wow, that's interesting. I went to the second men's group, and I made a similar comment. And first thing I knew, another 70-year-old man. It's amazing how this works. Pops up, and he starts to say how when he was a little child, how he had gotten sick one time and he had to go to the hospital. I'm not sure it was appendicitis or something like that. And back in the day, again, a 70-year-old man, long ago. So back in the day, the hospitals said to the parents, go home. We'll take care of the little one. And he said he had a picture of himself crouching underneath the table. And his parents abandoned him and went home, left him there. And then he said, further, he says, not only did my parents abandon me, but he said, I couldn't spell. I can't spell. But my father was a really good speller. My father, all the time, he'd say to me, he'd say, okay, spell this. He'd give you a big word or something, because his father was a really good speller, but the son could not spell at all. So his father would constantly put his son up to the test. Okay, spell this. And he couldn't spell, and he felt so bad. 70-year-old man to tell me his story. Okay, happened like yesterday. And then the other curious thing that happened was this. I happen to know these two men, and I happen to know that they knew each other. And I happen to know these two men were not bosom friends. Okay? These are two men who were living out of their pain. Okay? They didn't have a clue what was going on. But when I saw the light bulbs coming on in my own mind, I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. 70-year-old men, just like yesterday. The pain factor is an amazing factor that you cannot ignore, because many, many times it is such an important part of this thing. We so often deal almost entirely with surface symptoms. Rarely do we get to the heart of things. My urging for us today is, please, 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 look for the heart of things. Look behind the surface bluff and begin to discover the real issues. And it is astonishing how different real looks. It is so astonishing how different real looks. Sometimes we use a story of the man on the subway who had about 6 or 8 children with him. And the children were just scrambling all over the place and being noisy and being a great distraction. And the man somehow seemed kind of lost in his own thoughts. And it's like, sir, don't you know what your kids are doing? It's time to get them straightened up. And he kind of jerks himself out of his quietness, and he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I really don't mean for them to be doing this, but these kids just lost their mother yesterday. And so all of a sudden, the picture looks so different. It looks so different. And we just had this happen in our church where a group of 8 youngsters just lost their mother. And so you see these little ones running around there and like, okay, what's going on in their heads? And maybe they're not so well-behaved and they're not quite doing the things that you think maybe they ought to be doing. But look behind the pain and you can see what's going on there. And it suddenly opens your heart wide open. Wide open. Whereas at first it might be locked shut. You can open up your heart to most anybody in that the Lord has brought to you to relate to. If God Himself opens your heart and allows you to see that factor, we must quickly go on. So think about that pain factor. And the second thing I'd like to think about here is simply the abuse factor. And as we think about these types of things, there is so many, many things that come into play in the abuse factors: physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, sexual abuse. And it just seems like the list goes on and on and on. And folks, I wish I could tell you today that we have no idea what these things are. We've never seen them, never heard of them. They're out of here. They're not out of here. They're so close to us. Way too close to us. And I'm here to tell you today, folks, there's healing for these things. As we come alongside of and we mentor and we seek godly counsel in good places, we can find healing from these things. And there are so many, many ways that these things have affected our lives, if not our own lives personally, then certainly people that we know. And the problem that we have, in my opinion, and I'm so glad that some of you are in this room today who have some experience in working with these kinds of things, and I so value your being here, and I think that together we can make a difference. And I suppose how I'm putting together might be slightly different than how you would put it together. That's okay with me today. I welcome any comments from you after this session or during the session. So I'd just like to address this question a little bit about where is freedom found? And I think that many, many times, in my experience, it is really difficult to come to freedom alone. You know, you can just look at somebody and say, well, just do what the Bible says. Don't you know God loves you? Don't you know you're forgiven? But you know, many, many times we need somebody to come alongside of us and just say, you know, just lead us in that path. And Lois and I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I asked her if we can talk about ourselves a little bit. That's scary. But my dear wife comes from a home, a Mennonite home, okay? But there were so many of these things present in that place. Physical abuse. Father going after sons with 2x4s. And just so many broken things that were going on there. And one day, and I say this with joy because this was a turning point in our lives. One day Lois looks at me and she says, let's go see John Vergeer at Colorado Springs. Some of you know who that is. She said, let's go out there and do that. And as she tells a story, I should have her telling a story because she's so much better storyteller than I am. She said, well, 3 years waiting list. That'll be a while. I think I'd get ready for port in 3 years. So I said, okay, let's do it. I'd never been to Colorado Springs before, and I didn't really know what was out there. And you know all the thing about Pikes Peak and all this kind of stuff. And Sunville, sure, let's go. And so I called out there and I said, hey, any chance we could come spend a little time with John? They said, well, sure. They said, in fact, we love pastors. We can just get you in right soon here. I'm like, whoops. The plan was to wait for 3 years. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, we were kind of like skating all over the place, like, okay, are we ready to do this or are we not going to do this? Well, it was an interesting experience for us because we went out there and we had a little bit of extra time. I tried to build in a little extra time so I have a little time to do some stuff. And here's the deal. We had this thing that we were able to go up on Pike's Peak. Now you can drive up there. So we got this little car and we drove up to Pike's Peak. It was before we went to see John. Mistake. That was a mistake. And we've often talked about this since that time. So we've got to go back to Pike's Peak. We've got to go after. We were still buried in a hole. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know which end was up and all this kind of stuff. Now, listen to me. I was a preacher and all this kind of stuff before that time. You know, I knew what to do, okay? But I didn't know what to do. I needed some help. So I'm here to tell you today that sometimes we need some help. And I would like to say that there's no shame in admitting our need to help. I think the only shame is in tragedy is if we don't get help. That's the only tragedy. There is no shame in getting help. There's no shame in standing up and saying, you know what, I think I need some help here. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Are we leaders ashamed to admit our people need help? I hope you're not ashamed to admit that your people need help. And you know, even sometimes we maybe don't even know how to help them. There's no shame in seeking the kind of help that they need. We're pretty good and strong on the spiritual side of things, but I'm here to say today that I think a lot of times we're kind of clueless when it comes to the emotional side of things. And I think that we need to seek help when we can. And I'm just going to offer to you this website. If you ever have an idea and would like to know more about Caring for the Heart Ministries in Colorado Springs, you're certainly welcome to take down this number. I'm not telling you that they have all the answers to the world's problems, but I'm telling you that I do believe that they're pointing people to Jesus Christ, straight to Jesus Christ. That's what they point you to. Jesus has the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer to these needs. And I'm just telling you that in our experience, it was simply a gentle encounter with the power of Jesus Christ to bring emotional wholeness. So I wish we could discuss this a lot, but I'm willing to talk to you more about it afterwards if you can. But I'd like to come to the final point of the pride factor. I think there are several reasons why there's problems in relationship. One is the emotional pain that we experience, but the other is the spiritual side of things. We cannot minimize the spiritual side of things, because there is indeed a spiritual side of things. And as it goes with Scripture, I think the whole idea that only by pride comes contention comes from Proverbs, after all, okay? I think it's real. I think it's true that most of the time, when you find a problem in relationship, somebody is standing up on the inside. You can't say that to me. You can't do that. That wasn't right. That wasn't fair. What are you talking about? It's the pride factor, standing up inside of us. And there's one antidote to that. That is to be changed, to be born again. You say, what's that? Do we know what it means to be born again? To not just get saved, but to live saved?
That's right.
The Protestant world has taught us to just get people saved. Jesus taught us to live saved. Go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't just say, go get them saved. He said, teach them how to live saved. That is what we need to do as God's people. We have changed lives, changed habits, changed values, changed relationships. Then we have this admonishment from Hebrews chapter 12. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you understand this? We make so many excuses why we're not doing relationship. This doesn't give us much wiggle room, does it? Not a lot of wiggle room. From the very beginning, it was love. 1 Peter 4:8. There's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. How many times we're so afraid of each other? We don't want to talk to somebody because we're afraid what's going to happen? What's he going to give me? He's not going to agree with me. He's going to knock me flat. And we're afraid to go there. But perfect love casts out fear. What a beautiful picture of God's people. Well, as we wrap this up today, I don't know if any of you follow the Lead Like Jesus blogs or not. Ken Blanchard's program. I think it's a very nice program to give encouragement. It's emphasizing, they say we need to emphasize people first and results second. But you see, the problem in ministry is it has to be results. If you don't get results, I love Phil Yoder's opening comments. Results. It's about results. We're out there in the mission field, and we got to get something going. If I don't get something going, I'm not worth my time being there. So we have to get results. And sometimes results fly in the face of relationships. Jim Collins on Level 5 Leaders and what they're really like. In his book, Good to Great, he says two things are characteristic of Level 5 Leaders. It's uncommon focus and uncommon humility. It's not the big and brash that are out there in the front waving their arms and dashing orders. But it's the kind of people who have that flint-like focus on what the goal is. But with it goes an uncommon humility. The secret to having abundant grace for successful relationships is simply humility. Be clothed with humility, for God giveth grace to the humble. That's where the grace factor comes. And I think it's such a beautiful picture of what God would like for his people to have. Be clothed with humility. And with that garment comes grace. Grace to reach out to you. Grace to reach out to that guy I can't stand. It's the grace factor. When I kneel low in humility, God suddenly allows his grace to wash over you. It's an amazing, amazing factor. Seth.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.